Well, I am super excited about bringing this message. Matter of fact, I didn't want to bring it while we were not meeting together. We're going to start a series, this week, and then we have other things that I got planned. I'm so excited about this year, and this is going to be a monumental year for us, I believe. Amen? And I'm super excited about what God wants to do. And with that, the heaviness of that moment, I just want to just go to God. Amen? Father, we look to you, and we ask, God, for your anointing on your word. And God, we ask for your anointing, God, on this message. And God, may this message be a message, God, that changes the way we think and maybe some ideas. And God, may it be a message, God, that kind of defines us and launches us into this new year. And God, we thank you for the Holy Spirit who makes real the words of Jesus in our hearts. In his name, amen. Amen. So we are starting a new series, and our series is called Creed. Creed. So we are going to be talking over the next few weeks about the Apostles' Creed. And all of my liturgy believers said amen. 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 So how many of you grew up in a church where you quoted the Apostles' Creed on a regular basis? Wow, that is like almost everybody. Almost everybody. And I want to talk about the Apostles' Creed. So for those of you who are watching and you're not familiar with creeds and not familiar with what in the world are we doing? Are we going to become a liturgy church? Like, what are we even doing? So just to back up a little bit, a creed is simply a statement of a belief system. It's basically what it is. Like, really, like, the army has a creed, right? How many of y'all served? And anybody, where's our service people? The army has a creed. And you can help me, guys. You're better than that, this than I am. The Air Force has it. The Coast Guard has it. The Marine has the rifle creed, right? This is my rifle, right? There are many like it, but this, right? So there are many creeds, right? And so creeds do many different things. And before we start, since so many, I wasn't going to do this, but since so many of you grew up in a church where you quoted the creed, there's actually two lines of the creed that are really kind of go a little different, right? And so many of you already know which lines I'm talking about if you do. So, but this is the creed that we're going to use. And so as we read this creed, and as we quote it later on in the service, just understand, if you have any questions about why we did what we did and why we chose this one and not that one, come see me after the service and we can talk about it, or email me if you have questions, or email Jessica if you have questions. So, all right, so we're going to put it on the screen, and you can read along with us if you want. We're going to do it together later, but I'm just going to read the Apostles' Creed, and then we're going to talk about it. It reads this. It says, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. Next line. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Amen. Or whatever denomination you said, amen or amen, right? Like, so this is the Apostles' Creed. So why are we doing the Apostles' Creed? Why are we going back and doing this kind of, some of you would say, this is kind of a religious thing, and we did this in my church when I was growing up, and it was a dead church. This is the Apostles' Creed. Let's talk about what this creed really is, okay? So this creed, or a version of these creeds, have been around for about 1,800 years. This is not like they didn't write this in, like, you know, 19, you know, during World War II, right? This is 18 years of creed. Amen. 1,800 years of creed. Christians' Greek creeds, they really began around 1,800 years ago. It was used, a lot of times these creeds were used as a statement of belief, right? And a statement before baptism. Actually, they actually would use creeds like, so some of the whenever you would say, hey, I'm interested in becoming a follower of Jesus, well, they would, a lot of times they would take you on a 1-year-long journey of teaching you what you believe. And then they said, right before your baptism, now what is it that you believe? And sometimes these creeds were used in these baptisms. This is what I believe, right? Matter of fact, the oldest, one of the oldest, there's so much information, right? There's some of the oldest one. There's this thing called the Old Roman Creed, right? And then even past that, there was, I can't remember the name of it, but basically this Old Roman Creed and the whatever that was, I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head. But the idea was, this is basically, like the Old Roman Creed is almost the Apostles' Creed. And we're talking like 180 A.D., like this has been around a long, long time. Like you think about 180, we're talking about what is that, about 80 years after the Apostle John died, right? Isn't that about right? Ish, right? So we're talking not far removed. And so what is the Apostles? Was the Apostles' Creed written by the Apostles? Debated, probably not written by the Apostles, but it definitely was what the apostles believed. It's definitely a direct doctrine of what the apostles, like Peter, James, right, John, these guys, this is what they espoused and believed, right? The actual Apostles' Creed was written, there's actually, so how do you know it's, like, there's many things, ways you know it's so old. It's actually mentioned in a letter to the Pope, like in 390. There's many different, like there's a Nicene Creed, right? So basically, what am I trying to say? This creed is really old. And it's really close to the original apostles and what they believed, right? So these creeds are basically been a verbal affirmation of our faith for about 1,800 years, right? And so, this creed has been a source of like think of the U.S. Constitution, like what the foundation of what we believe as Americans, right? Right? This is a foundational document of why and what we believe as Christians. And so you're like, can we teach? Like, where is this? Where is the Apostles' Creed like in the Bible? It's not in the Bible. But the truth is this, just like the moon doesn't give off light, it just reflects the sun. This creed really reflects what the apostles believed. It really reflects, like the truths of this creed are basically, are they scripture? No. But they reflect what is in scripture. Right? And so, and I believe, like, why are we going to talk about creeds? I think that in this moment in history, this creed is vitally important, is super important. As a matter of fact, as far as I know, as far as I've gotten from the Lord, that from now on, when we do communion, this year, we will do the Apostles' Creed when we have communion, because we need to remember what we believe. Amen. And so, what does it do? What does the creed do? The first thing the creed does. It's like, you're going to preach the creed. I am preaching the creed, yes. Because they've been doing it for 1,800 years. The creed provides a worded document for our affirmation of faith. It gives us the summary of the Christian faith. And you know what's great? We don't have to write another one. As a matter of fact, in the next couple of weeks, what you'll see on our website of our statement of belief will be mainly the Apostles' Creed, this creed that we just read, will be on our website as a statement of what we believe, right? And when you, like, so it provides a statement of faith of what we believe. It also, it's this affirmation document that affirms, that we can say and affirm, this is what we believe as followers of Jesus. And it's an affirmation. You know why? You know why all the branches of military, they have a creed? You know why people have a creed? They have a creed because they know that that creed will be tested. The creed will be tested. And we need to make sure that we understand what we believe and why we believe it. When there is a confusion about in the overall Christian culture about what is it that we believe, right? This affirmation of faith serves as a document that we can point to and say, that's what I believe. I believe in God the Father Almighty. He is the maker of heaven and earth. And I believe that Jesus was virgin born, right? He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He died for me, was raised again, right? I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in the church, right? I believe in these things. This is what I believe. So if you're some of your unsaved go, so what does it mean to be a Christian? You can go, that's what it means to be a Christian. There may be some other things that we can talk about and other, but this is basically what we believe as Christians. Amen? Amen. So the next thing it does is the creed also protects us and has protected the Christian community from false doctrine for all these years. This creed, the creed has been used to ward off, especially in the early days of Gnosticism and other false doctrines that were trying to creep into the church. This document was a way to ward off false doctrine. So when people come and try to say, well, you know, Jesus wasn't really born of a virgin, go, no, that's not what the Bible says. That's not what Scripture teaches. Like you, and let me just say this. This also, it represents, these are like the non-negotiables of your faith. Like if you believe these things, you are a Christian. If you don't believe some of these things that are in the creed, we need to talk. Right? Because these are non-negotiables. We can talk about tongues, we can talk about other things, but these are the non-negotiables. This is what we believe as Christians. And it's, like I said, it's served as a doctrinal statement. And the last thing is where I really want to focus on is that this document, I thought about different ways to word this. And what I chose was this. This document is a rallying cry for unity. It's a rallying cry for unity. In our Christian culture, we are dealing with some of the most division that I've seen in the Christian community. And it's amazing. Like one side, you can say, wow, I can't believe that if you're on this side and you look at that side and you say, I can't believe you can be a Christian and be on that side. Or I stand over here on this side and I say, I can't believe that I can be a Christian. You can be a Christian and be on that side. I mean, it's amazing to me. I don't understand how you can be a Christian and be a Bulldogs fan. What did you think I was talking about? I got one amen in the back. I don't know what y'all thought I was talking about. You know, I'm amazed by our armed forces. I'm amazed at I love history. I like history and I like to watch movies, and we don't always know how accurate all this stuff. But I do know that these guys, and some of you guys and can tell me better, but in these foxholes and in these places where guys come together from all different walks of life, all different beliefs, all different mindsets. You have somebody from Portland, Oregon, in the trenches with somebody that's from Kentucky. I didn't say which one was better. I'm just saying that the differences in cultural America and the cultural differences and belief differences and all these kind of differences, they come together for one purpose. For the cause of, they're fighting for our country. One purpose, the mission. Isn't that right, Doug? The mission. It's the mission. I don't give a rip where you're from. We're on the same mission. Yeah. We have one goal, one mission. And the creed reminds us of the mission. It reminds us of who we are. like forget about all of our differences. John 17, 20. And I want us to hear this. Because listen, like you think about over this past year, of all the different from the mass to the summer troubles and the election, and could it be, and then you put on top of that, let's just help people not come to church. Right? Do you see how this is probably a setup of the devil to divide the church? Do we see it from a global? And I know you have your opinions. And let me just say, have them. Let me read this. This is from my good friend, Ted. He's a godly man in our community. He says this. He says, this is the way like division goes. It starts out with differences. And it's good to have, it's okay to have differences. We can have differences. We do have differences. I point out every person in this room will all have different opinions, right? Differences, they flow into disagreements, but then they turn into discord, and then they turn into division. Discord, I mean difference, disagreement, discord, and division. Division is the enemy of the church. Remember the Tower of Babel?
Yeah.
God said if they put their mind to one thing, nothing is impossible to them.
Yeah.
And they were going against God. Think about this. Jesus chose a zealot. If you don't know Simon the Zealot, the zealots back then, zealots weren't like, oh man, I'm just radical for God. No, that's not the zealot that they're talking about. Zealots were a Militarial? They were a aggressive overthrow, assassins overthrow the Roman government at all cost.
Yeah.
So they were the leaders when they were like, Jesus, we're going to overthrow the whole government. That was Simon the Zealot.
Yeah.
Then you have Matthew the tax collector.
Oh.
Can you imagine the little walks from like when it says that the Bible says that they went up from Galilee and they went to blah, blah, blah. Well, that's usually like a lot of times it's a 3-day hike. Can you imagine Simon and Matthew talking together? Can you imagine that conversation? Oh, yeah, we can because we see it on Facebook right now. Like, seriously, like, can you see Simon the Zealot going, wow, you know, I just want to overthrow. And Matthew's over here going, you know what, I know those Romans. You know, it's not that bad. Matter of fact, we've had more security in our country than we've ever had. Can you imagine the vast differences of opinions in there? And then you have Peter, like the hothead, right? And then you have John, who just wants to love and art, and right? He's like the artsy Christian, right? John. And those two, like, dwelling together. No wonder Jesus, let me go back to the scripture, in John chapter 17 prayed this. Jesus praying. I am praying not for these disciples, because he already prayed for those disciples, but also for those who will ever believe in me. That's us he's praying for. Through their message, I pray that they will be one. Just as you and I are one, you are in me, Father, and I am in you. So may they be in us, so the world will believe that you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one, as we are one. I am in them, and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity may they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. This is Jesus' prayer for us. Did he say, hey, I want them to all agree with each other? That's not what he said. He said, I want them to be one. One. Division is the greatest enemy of the church, and it's been the greatest enemy of the church as long as the church has existed. And Jesus knew that that would be a huge weapon of the devil to destroy the church. Division. So that's why he prayed. But on the other side of that, unity is our greatest strength. A group rallying around this common cause by the power of the Holy Spirit can change the world. The diverse group, that diverse group was in one accord on the day of Pentecost. And the Holy Spirit poured into them. And it changed everything. It changed the world. There's this phrase I learned, and it's called this. It's called the I'm getting educated. It's called the narcissism of small differences. And the idea of the it's actually Freudian, just forgive it. But it's, but the idea is this, is that the narcissism of small differences has to do with the idea that you battle the most viciously with the people that you most agree with. Your commonality causes us to argue. That's why we argue vehemently about, yes, the gifts are for today. Right? To other people who don't. But all of our commonalities. But we fight most viciously with the people that we agree most with. That we're like. Like, we don't fight a whole lot doctrinally with the people who believe in, like, druids. But we will fight as a church on doctrine.
That's right.
Right? You know what the creed does? It reminds us who we are, what we believe. Because there's more, listen, church, there's more that we agree with than the things that separate us. And there's power as we rally around. My friend Philip Kite, great guy, he said this. In his message last week to his church, he said, you know what? He said, church, you know what? This is for their church, it's not for ours. Just kidding. He said this, you know what Matthew 28 says? Matthew 28 says that we're supposed to go into all the world and make disciples. You know what Matthew 28 said on election day? That our command was? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. You know what Matthew 28 said in 2016? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Do you know what Matthew 28 said on 9/11 to the church? Go to all the world and make disciples. You know what Matthew 28 said during the Civil War? Go into all the world and make disciples. One cause, one purpose. Go into all the world and make disciples of what? The creed, what we believe in as Christians. This is our greatest calling. And have your differences, have your opinions, but we will unite as the body of Christ, not just here, but it's what we need to do as Christians all over the globe. Like, I don't know where you fall in your doctrinal belief, but I know that we all serve the same Jesus. We all serve God our Father, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son. We unify around that. Amen? Let your disagreements, not turn into division. Amen? Amen. That's where we stand as a church. We stand for one cause. You know what? Have your political opinions. Please. I have my own. You know what the church's stance is? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. You know what this church will be all about? Go into all the world. And preach the gospel. Julie, you want to say something?
Yeah.
Worship team, if y'all, Craig and Brian.
Yeah, I just feel the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Let's just close our eyes for a minute. And if as he was talking about the discord and the division, if that was tweaking something inside of you, don't accept shame.
Right.
But let it be conviction, a drawing to change. And if you need to prioritize some things in the way that you're living, maybe you've gotten caught up into this being, it's important, but it's not the most important. And you've let this become the current political culture or the moral culture, all these other things have become more important than the message of what Jesus wants us to do. And if you have been used to cause discord or division just out of your own frustration and helplessness and anger with the way things are going, but if you've let it go too far, then let's just repent now and change. Just sense the drawing of the Holy Spirit, that there's more, that he wants to break some things, that he wants in our community, in our church, that he wants us to be one.
Yeah.
So if you've said things, if you've posted things, if you've whatever, maybe even let some, I just keep getting a little bit of hatred grow in your heart towards people with different beliefs, then it's time to repent. None of that is what Jesus was praying for. So Father, right now, let's just ask the Holy Spirit to examine our hearts and show us if we need to change. So Holy Spirit, we invite you to come in right now and convict us, challenge us. Come. Now, if there's some things that you've let grow inside of you, or that you've been doing, cultivating, it's time just to pluck those weeds out of our hearts and just reprioritize, realign ourselves with the kingdom. You know, Jesus said, before you take communion, examine yourself. And so it's so good that we've got this opportunity now before we unite together. So just right now, God, let's just say this together. Say, God.
Father.
Our Father.
Our Father.
Yeah,
our Father.
We're sorry.
We repent.
We change. From the ways. That we have sown discord.
And division.
By saying things. That shouldn't be said at that moment. By putting opinions out there. That detract from your kingdom. So Father, forgive us. For any time. Unwittingly. Unknowingly. Have we been used. To sow discord. Now, Father. Lead us. This day forward. This moment forward. With what we say. With what we do. God, let us
be used
to sow love, to sow kindness,
in Jesus' name,
to sow peace,
and restoration,
in Jesus' name,
And just for the record, I'm not asking anybody to change your opinions. I'm not asking you to keep your opinions quiet. I'm asking us as a body of believers that we have one goal, one purpose, one God that we serve. Amen. My wife and I don't agree on everything. We agree on most things. Politically, we agree on most things. Not everything. So she can be wrong. Is it okay for your brother and sister to be wrong?
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Amen. And I would challenge you to have discussions maybe with people that don't, you know, honest discussions. I don't understand why you believe what you believe. And hear them out. You might find that they're not right-wing white supremacists. You might find that they love Jesus. you might find that that other person on the other side of the aisle is not all about abortion and all about some of those social things. That we, you might find out they think a little bit differently than we're preset in our mind to think that they think. Amen? Unity. Unity. They may love Jesus. Those Republicans may love Jesus just as much as you. Those Democrats may love Jesus just as much as you. I know, shocking. But it's true. Amen? Amen. I know you don't understand it. I know you don't understand it. But it's the truth. Talk to them. Ask them questions. Ooh, we ready for this? Listen, we have one goal. You know what else that hadn't changed? The great commandment. That we love God and we love others. You know what that said during the Civil War? Regardless of what was going on, love God and love each other. You know what it said in 9/11? Love God, love others. You know what the Great Commandment said on 2016? Love God, love others. You know what it's going to say on the 20th? Love God and love others.
That's right. That's right.
Amen? Let's all stand together. I know. But it's good. Medicine's good. Amen? Let's go ahead and open your container. I don't have one. I totally forgot to get one. Jesus, let's do this first. Put the creed up. There's more that unites us than divides us. And the thing that unites us is more powerful than the thing that divides us. Amen? I'm going to read it. You're welcome to read it along with me. It reads this, and hold your cup in your hand as this is who we are, as a follower of Jesus. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Take the bread. As we hold the bread, reminded of that he was condemned to death, and in his body, he paid the penalty, and by his stripes we're healed. So God, we thank you. Jesus, we thank you for the body that also reminds us that we are one body. And we take by faith in Jesus' name. Amen. We're reminded the blood of the new covenant. The new covenant. Purchased by the blood of Jesus for the remission of our sins. That we are free because of the blood. Aren't you glad this morning? Aren't you glad for the blood? Aren't you glad that you're not the person that you used to be? Aren't you glad that there's forgiveness and restoration and right standing with God because of the blood? Amen. We thank you, Jesus, for your blood that was shed for the remission of our sins and the blood of the new covenant purchased by your blood, Jesus. We thank you. Rejoice in what you've done for us, Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You can take. Amen. So next week, we're going to start off and we're going to talk about, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator in heaven, of heaven and in earth. What does that mean? He's our Father, right? He's almighty. Amen? Because he's creator. So we're going to be diving in this as we go together. And just, you know, if you have questions, you have concerns, you have something that you want to say, I will hear them all. Amen? I am here that we would all be one like Jesus prayed. And we're going to follow what God calls us to do as a church. What was powerful is yesterday, last night, watching those teenagers of different thinkings, right, come together praying for this church, praying for our community, and praying to ask God how they can impact our world around us. That was their prayer. It was holy. It was amazing. And so Scripture says, let the little child lead us. Amen. So we're going to do that. They're not little kids, though. They're my almost 18-year-old is still my little kid. So praise God. Amen. Say, I believe in Jesus' name. God bless you. Have an amazing Christ-filled. Go push back darkness this week. Amen. Yes. By the power of the gospel. Amen. Have an amazing week. God bless you. Thanks for joining us online.